Blog Talk Radio.
And now I present to you that International Bible Teacher of Teachers, Seer Israel of Seed Well. He will utter dark sayings and mysteries which have been kept from the foundation of the world, showing us the way to go. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Israelites, with your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
Yahuwah.
Yahuwah Radio Top Pod of Saturday. Worldwide International Radio Broadcast Top Pod of Saturday is now on the air. Top Pod of Saturday, live. And Jimmy Memo's in right now. Camp 2, 3, 4.
And what you go through brings what's already in you out.
Okay. So what path or religion are you in your pursuit of perfection with God? What are you?
I was raised Seventh-day Adventist.
Okay, and what does that mean?
Seventh-day Adventist is a Christian denomination, and one of the things that we believe is observing the Sabbath. So from a young child, you know, being brought up, I was always brought up with Sabbath observance. So Friday night sundown, Saturday night sundown, as mentioned in the Ten Commandments, remember the seventh day to keep it holy. And then also Jesus observed Sabbath as well.
Yeah.
So it's one day where I don't check my emails, I don't respond to work calls, I don't read
from
any scripts.
Friday night sundown
to Saturday night sundown.
Yeah.
No work.
You don't check your emails.
No. That's
like against the commandment of Hollywood that thou shalt carry thy BlackBerry at all times.
But you know what? Here's the thing. When you set boundaries.
Yeah.
Up front. Here's what my commitment is. So we all agree.
Before we even take the job or go down the road. Yeah.
Here's the commitment.
Yeah.
Are we all agreeing this is okay?
Mm-hmm.
So then all I have to do is just make sure I keep the commitment.
Yeah.
Because the moment I break it
is
the moment they realize, oh, well, he wasn't that serious.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, Sabbath is a time to recharge. It's a time to rest. It's a time to spend time with my family. It's a time to spiritually reconnect.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
What is interesting is that you allow your faith, your belief in God, to be at the forefront of who you are in a place where most of us, and you even say in the book, I remember when I said to my father, I was like 13, 14, that I'm going to be an actress. No daughter of mine is going to be going out to Sodom and Gomorrah.
Oh, boy.
Sodom and Gomorrah.
You know the line.
Sodom and Gomorrah. Yeah, right. So you're living in what a lot of certainly traditional Christian people see Hollywood as the land of everything but following the path of your faith. How do you make it out there?
Well, you make it by being true to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And
like literally for your first job, I mean, sorry to interrupt.
Okay.
For your first job, working as an intern with Will Smith, you say to them, look, I have to have the Sabbath off.
Yes.
Which, may I just confess that I learned in my first meeting with Devon, all these years I thought the Sabbath was Sunday.
Yeah.
I've been going to church. We say worship on the Sabbath, worship on the Sabbath in the Baptist church. And you corrected me. You said, no, Sunday is the first day of the week. Yeah. Sabbath is Friday sundown to Saturday sundown.
That's right. That's right.
I stand corrected.
Amen.
So you go to your first job with Will Smith and say, look, I'm really excited to be here. but I have to have Friday.
Friday night sundown, Saturday night sundown off. And what happened was it was.
Weren't you scared to say that?
Yeah, I was scared. It didn't. It wasn't intentional.
Like you, it wasn't intentional.
It wasn't intentional. But I'm there in the interview.
Yes.
And God starts to literally. It feels like He's speaking to me, you know, because she. Everything goes great. I feel like okay, yeah, I got this in the bag. You know, how you just go in and you land. Yeah, hey, it's all good. But at the end of the interview, it was like God was saying, "Tell her about the Sabbath," and I'm like. No, I'll tell her after I get the internship.
After I get the
after
job,
I get what I want.
I'll tell them.
Right.
Yeah.
But he said, no, be obedient. And so I said, man, all right. Well, here's the thing. I can't take this internship if I have to work Friday night sundown to Saturday night sundown because I observed the Sabbath. And she was quiet. And then after a moment, she said, don't worry. Work around that. And I said, hallelujah. And what it did was it gave me confidence that if I embrace who I am, it will open doors, not shut them. Also.
That's really big. Hold that a moment. Pause. Tweet. Okay, good. Go ahead.
We're also thinking about doors, right?
Yeah.
If your faith won't fit in the door that opens, then I argue do not walk through that door. The door that God has opened for you will fit your faith.
That's such a tweet. I have to take a break. I have to take a break and tweet that myself.
All right.
Okay, we'll be right back. For your first job, working as an intern with Will Smith, you say to them, look, I have to have the Sabbath off, which may I just confess that I learned in my first meeting with Devon, all these years I thought the Sabbath was Sunday.
Yeah.
I've been going to church. We say worship on the Sabbath, worship on the Sabbath in the Baptist church. And you corrected me. You said, no, Sunday is the first day of the week. Yeah. Sabbath is Friday sundown to Saturday sundown.
That's right. That's
right. I stand corrected.
Amen.
So you go to your first job with Will Smith and say, look, I'm really excited to be here, but I have to have Friday.
Friday night sundown, Saturday night sundown off. And what you go through brings what's already in you out.
Okay. So what?
And what you go through brings what's already in you out.
Okay. So what path or religion are you in your pursuit of perfection with God? What are you?
I was raised Seventh-day Adventist.
Okay. And what does that mean?
Seventh-day Adventist is a Christian denomination. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we believe is observing the Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
So from a young child, you know, being brought up, I was always brought up with Sabbath observance. So Friday night sundown, Saturday night sundown, as mentioned in the Ten Commandments, remember the seventh day to keep it holy. And then also Jesus observed Sabbath as well.
Yeah.
So it's one day where I don't check my emails. I don't respond to work calls. I don't read
from
any
Friday night.
Friday night sundown.
Sundown.
To Saturday night sundown.
Yeah.
No work.
You don't check your emails.
No. That's
like against the commandment of Hollywood that thou shalt carry thy BlackBerry at all times.
But you know what? Here's the thing. When you set boundaries.
Yeah.
Up front. Here's what my commitment is. So we all agree.
Before we
take the job or go down the road.
Yeah.
Here's the commitment.
Yeah.
Are we all agreeing this is okay?
Mm-hmm.
So then all I have to do is just make sure I keep the commitment.
Yeah.
Because the moment I break it
is
the moment they realize, oh, well, he wasn't that serious.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, Sabbath is a time to recharge. It's a time to rest. It's a time to spend time with my family. It's a time to spiritually reconnect.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
What is interesting is that you allow your faith, your belief in God, to be at the forefront of who you are in a place where most of us, and you even say in the book, I remember when I said to my father, I was like 13, 14, that I'm going to be an actress. No daughter of mine is going to be going out to Sodom and Gomorrah.
Oh, boy.
Sodom and Gomorrah.
You know the line.
Sodom and Gomorrah. Yeah, right. So you're living in what a lot of certainly traditional Christian people see Hollywood as the land of everything but following the path of your faith. How do you make it out there?
Well, you make it by being true to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And
like literally for your first job, I mean, sorry to interrupt.
It's okay.
For your first job, working as an intern with Will Smith, you say to them, look, I have to have the Sabbath off, which may I just confess that I learned in my first meeting with Devon, all these years I thought the Sabbath was Sunday.
Yeah.
I've been going to church. We say worship on the Sabbath, worship on the Sabbath in the Baptist church. And you corrected me. You said, no, Sunday is the first day of the week. Yeah. Sabbath is Friday sundown to Saturday sundown.
That's right. That's
right. I stand corrected.
Amen.
So you go to your first job
yeah.
with Will Smith
yes.
and say, look, I'm really excited to be here, but I have to have Friday.
Friday night sundown, Saturday night sundown off. And what happened was it was.
Weren't you scared to say that?
Yeah, I was scared. It didn't. It wasn't intentional.
Like you, it wasn't intentional.
It wasn't intentional. But I'm there in the interview.
Yes.
And God starts to literally. It feels like He's speaking to me. You know, because everything goes great. I feel like, okay, yeah, I got this in the bag. You know, how you just go in and you
yeah,
land. Hey, it's all good. But at the end of the interview, it was like God was saying, "Tell her about the Sabbath." And I'm like. No, I'll tell her after I get the internship.
Yeah. After I get the
after
job,
I get what I want.
I'll tell them.
Right.
Yeah.
But he said, no, be obedient. And so I said, man, all right. Well, here's the thing. I can't take this internship if I have to work Friday night sundown or Saturday night sundown because I observe the Sabbath. And she was quiet. And then after a moment, she said, don't worry. Work around that. And I said, hallelujah. And what it did was
wow.
it gave me confidence that if I embrace who I am,
wow.
it will open doors, not shut them. Also.
That's really big. Hold that a moment. Pause. Tweet. Okay, good. Go ahead.
We're also thinking about doors, right?
Yeah.
If your faith won't fit in the door that opens,
yeah.
then I argue do not walk through that door. The door that God
Whoa,
has opened
boy,
for you
moment.
Will fit your faith.
That's such a tweet. I have to take a break. I have to take a break and tweet that myself.
All right.
Okay, we'll be right back.
All right, we live. It's top part of the Sabbath day. I know it's on the international side. It's packed jammed. But on the right side, those are coming in to assist in the broadcast. It'll generally must be in a delay to get. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to put a tape on until they pack in on the left side, and then we'll come back live. How that sound? Date is 4-26-2024. Top part of Sabbath day. This day the Almighty have made for me and you. And so what we'll do, we just put a tape on for right now. And we'll come back live once the left side is ready to go. On the international side is over 900,000 strong, ready to hear the word of Yahweh. So we'll put a tape on for right now. Then we'll come back once the elders, the mothers, that contribute to the ministry, come on broadcast, then we'll come back live. How that sound? That's what we do. We'll come back live. Take care of
the four corners of the globe. Praise His righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah. Radio. Worldwide International Radio Broadcast, Yahweh's Radio, is now on the air. I be your host, thy name, your seer, Israel, of the race. We're doing a series and just got through completing with starting all the way down and get down to three more minutes. And try again, get on down the road on some old stuff there, Yahweh. We do a series called Coming to Exile, Biblical Godly Journey of the True Israel, the Israelites, from birth. Earthplace, the east, now majority of them in the west. The children of Israel, birthplace is from the east. From east all the way to west. No dividing land that is the children of Israel lot. From the far east you go, far west you come. That is the children of Israel boundary line. And so we welcome you all on this broadcast. And the number one thing,
number one thing.
And what you go through brings what's already in you out.
Okay. So what path or religion are you mm-hmm. in your pursuit of perfection?
I was raised in heaven.
Okay. And what does that mean?
So we have Adventist is a Christian denomination. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we believe is observing Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
So from a young child, you know, being brought up, I was always brought up with Sabbath observance. So Friday night sundown, Saturday night sundown, as mentioned in the Ten Commandments, but remember the seventh day to keep it holy. And then also Jesus observed Sabbath as well.
Yeah.
So it's one day where I don't check my emails, I don't respond to work calls, I don't read
from
it.
Friday night sundown.
To Saturday night sundown.
Yeah.
No work.
You don't check your email.
No.
That's like against the commandment of Hollywood, that thou shalt carry that BlackBerry at all times.
But you know what? Here's the thing. When you set boundaries.
Yeah.
Up front. Here's what my commitment is. So we all agree.
I love
this. You either take the job or go down the road.
Yeah.
Here's a commitment.
Yeah.
Are we all agreeing this is okay?
Mm-hmm.
So then all I have to do is just make sure I keep the commitment.
Yeah.
Because the moment I break it is the moment they realize, oh, well, he wasn't that serious.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, Sabbath is a time to recharge. It's a time to rest. It's a time to spend time with my family. It's a time to spiritually reconnect.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
What is interesting is that you allow your faith, your belief in God, to be at the forefront of who you are in a place where most of us, and you even say in the book, I remember when I said to my father, I was like 14, that I'm going to be an actress. No daughter of mine is going to be going out to Sodom and Gomorrah.
Oh, boy.
Sodom and Gomorrah. Yeah, right. So you're living in what a lot of certainly traditional Christian people see, Hollywood, as the land of everything but following the path of your faith. How do you make it out there?
Well, you make it by being true to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And
literally for your first job. For your first job. Working as an intern with Will Smith, you say to them, look, I have to have the Sabbath off, which may I just confess that I learned in my first meeting with Devon, all these years I thought the Sabbath was Sunday.
Yeah.
I've been going to church. We say worship on the Sabbath in the Baptist church. And you corrected me. You said, no, Sunday is the first day of the week. Sabbath is Friday sundown to Saturday sundown.
That's right. That's
I stand corrected.
Amen.
So you go to your first job, and say, look, I'm really excited to be here, but I have to have Friday.
Saturday night sundown off. And what happened was,
weren't you scared to say that?
Yeah, I was scared. It wasn't intentional.
It wasn't intentional,
but I'm there in the interview.
Yes.
And God starts to, he's speaking to me. You know, because everything goes great. I feel like, okay, yeah, I got this in the bag. You know how you just go in and you land, it's all good. But at the end of the interview, it was like God was saying, tell her about the Sabbath. And I'm like, no, I'll tell her after I get the internship.
get
what I want.
I'll tell her.
And he said, no, be obedient. And so I said, man, all right, well, here's the thing. I can't take this internship if I have to work Friday night sundown and Saturday night sundown because I observed the Sabbath. And she was quiet. And then after a moment, she said, don't worry, work around it.
And now I present to you that International Bible Teacher of Teachers, Seer Israel of Seed Royal. He will utter dark sayings and mysteries which have been kept from the foundation of the world, showing us the way to go. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
And now, Voices of the True Israelites with your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
All right, we live, top of the Saturday. And all the camps are ready to go. We're here, Master Side ready to go. You see, Mother E, I'm coming to the room. Mother E, Mother Z around, he get in contact with Mother D up Israel and tell her, come on the broadcast and put a brick in, do our part, no doubt about it. Then you're going to wake up, Mother D up Israel, and wake up, come on the broadcast, let them know it's time for another teaching of the top part of the Saturday. Mother E. All right, so live broadcast is on number. We just got through completing our leaven bread. Now we're in the call of 50-day count on the next week coming up. And why I still will keep you instructed on exactly what you got to do today. And from the time our living bread is over with, 50 days later, there'll be another feast called Feast of Weeks, with what they call, with the pagan name called Pentecost. That's a pagan name. So what we'll do, we just will get something going on the top part of the Saturday. And on the international side, they pack jam in ready up some more. And Mother E, she's coming on stage for top part of Saturday, so we're just working what we got until the rest come in, and the best is already here, and the rest is on the way. And I can tell you all around, get in where you've been in at. Whatever you feel that you all right in, get in there. That's what it's all about. Get in where you've been in. And one thing about it, give it all you got. Give it all you got. Top part of Saturday. This is the day that the Almighty He made this day for me, and He made for you. So we're waiting on Mother D up Israel to come on, get on the broadcast. So Mother, you get a chance to give a call and tell her, come on the broadcast. We'll get something going on because this is it.
And what you go through brings what's already in you out.
Okay. So what path or religion are you mm-hmm. in your pursuit of perfection with God? What are you?
I was raised.
For your first job, working as an intern with
yes.
Will Smith,
yes.
you say to them,
yeah.
look, I have to have the Sabbath
yes.
off,
yes.
which may I just confess that I learned in my first meeting with Devon, all these years I thought the Sabbath was Sunday.
Yeah.
I've been going to church. We say worship on the Sabbath, worship on the Sabbath in the Baptist church. And you corrected me. You said, no, Sunday is the first day of the week. Yeah. Sabbath is Friday sundown to Saturday sundown.
That's right. That's
I
right.
stand corrected.
Amen.
So you go to your first job
yeah.
with Will Smith
yes.
and say, look, I'm really excited to be here, but I have to have Friday.
Friday night sundown, Saturday night sundown off.
All right. It too. This is the top part of the Saturday. Start when the sun go down on Friday, and the sun go down on Saturday. But this day the Almighty has made for me and you. So we got to give it all you got. And the top part of the Saturday. So we see Mother on the stage. Mother E. So Mother's going to get something going on while Mother E is ready to hit some dust and drop water by saying, Mother E, one of the mothers out of Camp 1. Y'all fly PTSD right.
Yahweh bless you. Yes, Israel. I see you are. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
All right. Hallelujah, Yahweh there, Mother E. Well, Mother E, one thing about it. Prayer has been lit and the curtain has went up. So you got to get in there and do the best you can, no doubt about it. And tell them, and like I say, they got to hold on. Because one thing about it, everything Yahweh got written is going to happen. So, Mother, what we do, we just entertain the best we can and until the rest kind of get ready to go. So just thinking you find that Luke chapter 12, verse number 12. Let's see what we get going on with Luke chapter 12, verse 12 there, Mommy. Take the time to look at that Luke 12, and we'll go from there. There, come on.
The book of Luke chapter 12, verse 12. For the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour, what you ought to say.
That's right, Mother. The righteous spirit will teach us. So, you watch the righteous spirit teach us, Mother. And in the book of Daniel, chapter 9, verse 5, and 7 and 8, let's see what we can find out. See, once the righteous spirit gets to working with you, Mother, let's see what's going on, what will be removed from you. In Daniel chapter 9, verse 5, 7, and verse number 8. Let's see if we're working with you, Mother. Daniel 9, verse 5, 7, 8. Take your time then, Mother. We got plenty of time. Come on.
The book of Daniel, chapter 9, verse 5, verse 7, and verse 8. Daniel chapter 9, verse 5. We have sinned and have committed sin and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgment. Verse 7. O Yahweh, righteousness belongeth unto thee. But unto us confusion of faith, as at this day, to the man of Judah and to the inhabitants of Judah, and unto all Israel that are near, that are far off, through all the country. Whether thou hast driven because of their transgression, they have transgressed against thee. Verse 8. O Yahweh, to us belong confusion of faith, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee.
When we pay Yahweh's word, no never mind or half a never mind, that means we sin against him. And how you know that he's not working with you? He'll give you what's called a confusion of faith. He will have you think one way when really it's something else. And when you keep any law, statutes, commandments, then he'll remove that confusion of faith from you. So Jeremiah had to go and confront the southern kingdom about that same problem. And he said something in the fourth chapter of Jeremiah, brother. He had to go and talk to Judah, Benjamin, Levi, and Simeon. And he had an opportunity to look them eyeball to eyeball. And he said something to them, Mother. Let's see what he said in Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 1 and 4. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 1 and verse 4. What did it say that, Mother Eve?
Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 1 and verse 4. Verse 1, if thou wilt return, O Israel, said the Yahweh, return unto me, and if thou wilt put away thine inhabitants out of my sight, thy abomination out of my sight, then shalt thou not remove. Verse 4. Circumcise yourself to the Yahweh and take away the foreskin of your mind. Ye men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, of thy Judah, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn that none can quench it. Because of the evil of your doing.
So he said, break up your foul ground, Judah. Then the Levite, stop being like you are, because you can't win if you don't have your Yahweh before you. Let's get a case in point on that, Mother. See, you can't win. See, what we have to make sure they understand, Mother, you cannot win the battle that you in unless you got the Almighty working before you in order. Now, he going to talk. Now, Jeremiah is still talking, Mother. In the 21st chapter of Jeremiah told you, break up your solid ground and circumcise your mind. I mean, circumcise your mind. Because you can't win as long as you is not having this man first. I'm going to give a case in point, Mother, in Jeremiah 21, verse 4 down to verse 6. We're going to get a case in point, Mother. In Jeremiah 21, we're going to show you when you do wrong against your mighty one, what really happens that we can read. Jeremiah chapter 21, verse 4, 5, and 6. What did it say that, Mother E?
The book of Jeremiah chapter 21, verses 4, 5, and 6. Jeremiah chapter 21, verse 4. Thus said Yahweh of Israel, behold, I will turn back the weapon of war that are in your hands. Where will he fight against the king of Babylon and against the Chaldeans, which besiege without the walls, and I will assemble them into the midst of this city. Verse 5, and I myself will fight against you with an outstretched hand and with a strong arm, even in anger and in fury and in great wrath. Verse 6, and I will smile, and I will sniff the inhabitants of this city, both men and beasts. They shall die of a great pestilence.
You hear that, Mother? So he say, so Jeremiah came right back to the children of Judah, Benjamin, Levi, and Simeon. He said, I'm going to tell you something. Judah, Benjamin, Levi, and Simeon. If you think you can make it without Yahweh, I'm telling you right now, every battle that you go into, according to verse 4, I'm going to have that same weapon you got in your hand point towards the enemy. It's going to spring back and point towards you. You're going to be trying to stick your enemy, and Yahweh is going to be having that same weapon back point toward you. He said in verse 5, I myself, Yahweh, will fight against you with an outstretched hand and with a strong hand, even in anger. So the children of the book, the reason why you're getting beat down and you got a confusion of faith, because when Yahweh's business is on the clock, you pay it no never mind. And this book going to cause you for Yahweh to fight against you. Yahweh will fight against you when you take his business and pay it no never mind. I got to get a precept on that, Mother. So now, in the book of Daniel, I need a precept on that. That's pretty good, Mother. I need a precept on that. Although Yahweh have did something, and we see daughter Yahweh have came on stage for the night episode, and that's a great thing, Mother. So, like I said, she'll hold her hammer down until the cavalry get here, and that's a great thing. So my mother, in in the book of Daniel, mother. Let's see some of y'all what I say he did in verse number 6. Let's look at 9, verse 6, mother. Let's see what he said that we can read in Daniel 9, verse 6, mother. 9, verse 6. Daniel 9, verse number 6.
The book of Daniel, chapter 9, verse 6. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servant, the seer, who speak in the name of our king, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land.
Well, he said, since we pay the seer no never mind, you know, we don't want to hear him. We want to talk about delivering him up. What happens when you, you know, don't talk right and act right? Let's see what Yahuwah do, mother, in verse 14. Verse 14.
Daniel chapter 9, verse 14. Verse 14 reads, therefore, has Yahuwah watched upon the evil and brought it upon us, for the Yahweh, our Yahweh, is righteous in all his works which he doeth, for we obey not his voice.
You hear, mother? He said, now Yahweh, he watched over the evil because we don't obey Yahweh's voice. What do you mean? Well, what do you mean by that, mother? We don't obey Yahweh's voice. Let's go get a precept on that, then we'll bring God in. Acts 13, 26 and 27. What do you mean by it? He says he watched over the evil because we don't obey Yahweh's voice. Wait a minute. What that supposed to mean? Oh, you got to precept your Bible and see what that means. Go on to Acts chapter 13, mother, and look at verse 26 and 27. Let's see what it means by we don't obey Yahweh's voice. Let's see if we find out what the precept of that by going to Acts 13, verse 26 and 27. What does it say that, Mother E?
The book of Acts, chapter 13, verse 26 and verse 27. Verse 26. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you is Yahweh, to you is the word of this salvation sent. 27. For they that dwell at Yahdan Judah and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voice of the seer, which are read in the Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him.
So you hear the voice of Yahweh through the seer every Sabbath day. Every Sabbath day you will hear Yahweh's voice coming through the seer. Every Sabbath day. Tell me, man. So that's how do you obey his voice? By paying the civil to the fear, so never mind. Because the fear speaks through the mouth of Yahweh speaks through the mouth of the seer. That's the problem I'm trying to tell you. When you read this Bible and the seer bring the scriptures out to you, that's Yahweh putting the scriptures in the seer's head, and then we'll read it, and now you're hearing Yahweh's words. And now you're hearing Yahweh's voice in the seer. That's one of the greatest mysteries in teaching. But some way we're going to figure this thing out. That Yahweh always got a seer in all generations. And his job is to electrify the elders all over the country to get in and get in order according to this book. That's a great thing. So we see daughter Yahweh coming on the stage to holler that microphone on the top part of the Sabbath day. And that's a great thing. But you see, we bring the God in, daughter Yahweh. We see, we bring in, but she can help hollering that microphone. But I'm having a problem of what you're saying at WCC. Here, we having a problem with connecting her to the broadcast right now. Give us a couple more minutes. So, daughter, hold on a minute. WCC, the World Council of Churches, said they got a problem on connecting you to the broadcast.
All right.
So, I heard you say, all right. I mean, you might be looking connected. I don't see you on the screen. But let me see if you connected. They say I'm a problem getting you a clear, loud sound. They're working on your microphone to get you a clear, loud sound. But I did. He was pretty good a minute ago. Let me see again. Hey, daughter Yahweh. Yahweh, you didn't see Roy.
Yahweh, bless you, Seer Israel of C. Roy. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh. We do hear you, but it just ain't loud as it's going to be, because the big dignitary said we working on your microphone, get your microphone ready, and now they said we have just completed it here, now you should hear a full force. Well, that's a good thing. And Seer, don't forget what I've done to you yesterday. Don't forget about it. Okay, I ain't forget about what you did yesterday. Well, like I said, it's your radio station, you run the way you want to run it. And we ain't going to worry about that. So, daughter Yahweh, so we found out one thing, daughter Yahweh, that when we made a decision according to the book of Thus Said Yahweh, it was in pretty good shape. But one thing we got to know, daughter, back up, hey, daughter, look, we said, and Daniel 9, verse 4. What is it? And then I got to talk about this guy called Simeon and Simon that is now called Peter. I got to bring that to the table. Probably I might get it in on top part of the Sabbath. Maybe the bottom. I don't know. But right now, daughter, can you help those see out in the national audience? What do it say in Daniel 9, verse number 4? What does it say that daughter Yahweh 9, verse 4? Okay.
The book of Daniel, chapter 9, verse 4. Verse 4 reads, prayed unto the YHWH Yahweh, my Yahweh, and made my confession and said, O Yahweh, the great and dreadful Yahweh, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his covenant, his commandment. Verse
5. Yeah, go ahead.
We have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgment.
Now that's big talk. Now, wait a minute, daughter. Now you'll stumble on some great big talk, dog. Now, you say now we have done wickedness by rebelling. Now, daughter, you don't put a verse on the table that it's no way I can't let it get away. You mean that is rebellion? We have done wickedness because of what in verse 5, daughter? Let's talk about it again in verse 5 again. Come on.
The book of Daniel chapter 9, verse 5 reads, we have sinned and have committed iniquity, and have done wickedly, and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgment.
So, hey, daughter, is he saying that if we depart from the precept of the Bible, see, when you precept your Bible, it means you ain't got to give your thoughts about anything. He said, now once you don't precept your Bible, according to verse 5, now look at it real carefully, dog. Now look at that verse real carefully now, because I think you're going to sum up on something we can't even get away. So now, when you rebel against your mighty one, according to verse 5, what causes the rebellion and Yahweh is very angry with you, according to verse 5. So read 5 one more time, than the total. The national is over 900,000 strong. I want to hear you break down that verse 5 after you read it one more time for the national audience. Come on.
Daniel chapter 9, verse 5. We have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and from thy judgment.
Uh-huh. Now, what do that mean? Now, if you want to pass it on to the mother or back to me, fine, but if you want to take a shot at that, for the national order's sake, take a shot at that, or if you want to pass now, that's good. But if you want to take a shot at that verse 5, come on.
We have sinned, and done wickedly and rebelled against him when we departed from his precepts and from his covenant.
Mm-hmm. So you mean if we don't do the precepts, if we don't precept our Bible, what have we did in the eyes of Yahweh? Especially
we have
if you sin
and have been in the
Yeah, for example, now if you plan on sitting around others and you open the Bible up, now we're not talking about the casual reader, but if you is having a gathering or you around more than one and you trying to explain something to the Bible, you must do what according to verse 5?
Thy priest. Verse 5.
Yeah.
We have sinned and have committed iniquity and have wickedly and have rebelled by departing from your precepts and from thy judgment.
So, what I'm getting out of this myself. Now, Mother Eve, what you getting out of that verse, Mother Eve? If you want to pass it to an old seer, that'd be fine. But what are you getting out of verse 5? Take it down there, Mother, hop in that microphone. What are you getting out of verse 5 there? Come on.
It's about the same he said. We done sinned, and we done wicked, and we done departed from the precept. And do it next. That do it next. Okay.
Okay. So when we don't precept this Bible to explain the subject matter, that's a wicked act in the sight of the Almighty. So that's what it's always saying, Mother. Especially if we try to explain something. We got to be able to explain it through the precept. Never try to explain something without using the precept. I gotta get a case in point on that, Mother. I need a case in point in there. Mother. Give me 41:21 of Isaiah. I need a case in point. So what he's saying, Mother, that if we got anything to say, turn to the Bible. If you hear a verse on the table and you have a problem with that verse, but if you don't have the precept answer to it, you're supposed to say anything. Because the only way you're supposed to deal with it is, well, I heard that, but the precept, that's how you bring it out. Now, if you're not going to bring the precept out on that verse, you got to let that verse ride too. You got to let it go. Because if you're trying to explain the Bible, and if you're not precepting the Bible, then that's not the will of Yahweh. So in 41, Mother, I need a precept on that. Now, this is what he said that we can read in Isaiah 41:21. What can we read in
The book of Isaiah, chapter 41, verse 21. Produce your cause, said the Yahweh. Bring forth your strong reason, said the King of Israel.
You see that? So you see that? Now you see it, so you got to produce your cause and bring forth your strong reason, says the King of Israel. Who's the King of Israel? So that's a big verse, mother. So who's the King of Israel? We can read in St. John chapter 1, verse number 47 and 49. So who's the King of Israel? So I think we see Sister Sarah is coming to the stage to listen to all in that microphone. We'll find out shortly. And hallelujah, Father, Sister Sarah. So we'll bring Sister Sarah in shortly and see if she fill up the hollering at microphone a little bit too. That's what it's all about on Saturday, hollering at microphone. And soon later we'll see about in class again. And that's a double great thing. No doubt about it. So now what we're getting ready to read, mother. What we're getting ready to read?
He says St. John chapter 1, 47 and 49.
Okay, yeah, right. We're going to find out who said this right here. He said, now you read in Isaiah 41, 21. It says, produce your cause, says the four-letter man. Bring forth your strong reason, says the King of Israel. Now, I want to precept and see. Who told Isaiah this right here, and he left his little signature saying he's the King of Israel. So let's run that down, mother, and see what's going on that we can read. Who's this King of Israel talking to Isaiah in 700 B.C. that we can read in 147 and 49, mother, of St. John, come up.
St. John, chapter 1, verse 47 and 49. Verse 47, Yahweh the Son saw Nathanael coming to him and said of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. 49, Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of Yahweh, thou art the King of Israel.
Well, can't people want king at a time, mother. So if the king we just got to read in 41:21, is that the same king that the eyewitness says is Yahweh the Son, mother, that we read in 149? Is that the same one, mother?
Yes.
Hallelujah. How about a hallelujah, Yahweh, mother?
Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah. All right. So we found out the one that told Isaiah to tell, if you got any kind of anything to bring to the table, produce your cause, says the four-letter man Yahweh the Son. Bring forth your strong reason, says the King of Israel. So Yahweh the Son is the King of Israel. So he don't want to do all this great big talk. So you see, we'll find out on the way to find out something. So remember one thing. So the one is telling those in the Bible to do the precept. That's Yahweh the Son case. He said, precept my Bible, and then you give him my answer. But when you don't precept the Bible, you shoot a crap because you give him whatever you might be thinking about something. So you don't do that. Remember, if you want the Almighty to intervene, you must follow his rules and his regulations. He said, you got to precept my Bible. That's what he's saying. Now, in fact, we're going to bring in Sister Sarah and see if she feel like hollering the microphone, or she just making sure she in that number. We'll find out. Sister Sarah, one of the sisters out of Camp 1. Welcome back to the broadcast. Got locked into that Steve Ray.
Yahuwah bless you, said Israel of the Royal. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah. Precept must be upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. 13, but the word of the Yahuwah was unto the precept upon, was unto the, wait, but the word of the Yahuwah was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backwards and be broken and snared and taken.
So, regardless if we're struggling, we still must do it. What kind of way, Sister Sarah? What way did Yahuwah say that he wants, through the mouth of the seer, to tell them the only way you're going to get right with him, you got to do what?
Precept.
The only way, you produce your cause, you must precept the Bible. That's the only way you precept to get in the favor with Yahuwah for you doing it, for edifying. You must, when you got something, you must have a connecting precept. That's what he's saying. If you do not have a connecting precept, that's not the will of Yahuwah. He demands anybody that goes discuss his Bible with others, make sure when you discuss with others, you precept the Bible. Now I gotta get a note here in there. I'll put this arrow. I got to get a note here in that, and I don't hear what he said in 2nd Ezra. See, now, once you run down what they're saying, and you pay it no never mind, that's when the trouble starts on you, and that's when you're going to have a mother eat. What happens when you don't follow instructions in Daniel chapter 9, verse 7 and 8? What happens, mother? Daniel 9, verse 7 and 8. And you have to be able to watch for these things. If you don't do it the way he tells you to do it, what's going to happen that we can read, Mother? Daniel chapter 9, verse 7 and verse 8. What does it say?
The book of Daniel chapter 9, verse 7 and verse 8. Verse 7. O Yahuwah, righteous belongs unto thee, but unto us confusion of faith, as at the day to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Yahweh Judah and unto all Israel that are near and that are far off through all the countries wherever thou hast driven them, because of their transgression, they have transgressed against thee. Verse 8. O Yahuwah, to us belong confusion of faith, to our king, to our prince, and to our father, because we have sinned against thee.
So when you don't preach up your Bible, sinning against Yahuwah, especially if you explain something to another, you explain to the precept, or you sin against Yahuwah. And he said the example that you will have on you will be a confusion of faith. He said that's the example they're going to have. See, one thing about Yahuwah's word, if you know how to understand his word, when somebody explaining something to you, and they're not using the Bible to explain through precepts, they're going to have a confusion of faith. They're going to have another look on their face. So then you know right then and there, it's not Yahuwah's will. So that's the key right there. So you got to make sure you understand that this is on the count. If someone's explaining something to you, and they do not have a precept to back up with it, where they're coming from, you look at them real carefully, you'll see a confusion of faith because Yahuwah just gave you signs to look for. Well, confusion of faith. Now, Sister Sarah, I need a precept in 2nd Ezra chapter 16. Look at verse 73 down to verse 76. We're going to get a case in point again. So this is what you got to watch for, especially those that's going to be teaching this word out of the six anointed camp, the lead tribe, Judah. When someone step up to the plate and then make a statement, if they don't have a precept, look directly at them and watch what you see. You will see Daniel, chapter 9, verse 7, 8, all these things, or confusion of faith. Because if you will make a statement, you must back it up through the precept. Then Yahweh will back you up through the precept. See, precept edifies the congregation. What you think, what you feel, take away from the congregation. See? So all of you got to be clear about it. Because Yahweh is going to do a marvelous thing that's in the workings already. Land, school, banquet hall, radio stations, all in the making. But he want to know, about Yahweh in 94, verse 16. What do we want to know that we can read in 94, verse 16 there, Daughter Yahweh? What do Yahweh want to know in 94, verse 16 of Psalm? The angel came to say to David, and he threw a 94, 16 right in David's face. What did that say that we all can get some edifying out of 94, verse 16 of Psalm, Daughter Yahweh?
The book of Psalms, chapter 94, verse 16 reads, who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity?
Is there? He asked David an actual question. Who's going to rise up against the evildoers? That's what he want to know. He want to know. David put it right. He want to know who's going to. And how do you know when you do an evil? You just read now. Now come on, Sister Sarah. What are we reading in Second Ezra 16, verse 73 down to verse 76? What are we reading now, Sister Sarah?
Going to the book of Second Ezra, chapter 16, reading verse 73 through 76. 73 reads, and shall they be known who are my chosen, and they shall be tried as gold in the fire. Hear, O you, my beloved, say the Yahweh. Behold, the days of trouble are at hand. I will deliver you from the same. 75. Be you not afraid, neither doubt, for Yahweh is your guide. 76. In the guide of them who keep my commandments and precepts, say the Yahweh, Yahweh. Let not your sins weigh you down. Let not your sin lift you up, lift up themselves.
That's big talk, that's what there. It says in 7:6, and the God of them who keep my commandments and precepts. What is there again in 7:3 or so? So there, what is there in 7:3?
73. Then shall they be known who are my chosen, and they shall be tried as gold in the fire.
Ain't that something? See, he'll know it's chosen to the Pharaoh, the one that keeps the precept. That's how he gonna know who you are. Because one thing about it, if you precept in your Bible, he gonna know who you are. Then you gonna know the chosen, the one that precept the Bible. The one that keeps the law, statutes, and commandments by precept and the Bible. Then you're going to know, because when you hear somebody that's on Yahweh's side, they will, when you do hear them, they have a precept to back up what you're saying. That's big talk. Now that's tall talking right there. Matter of fact, that's talking so tall. I see one of them young linemen came on the broadcast, and they tell you all about this broadcast, who bring the broadcast, who all can. I don't know. We'll find out if he's coming peacefully. You don't know if we'll find out, too. If you can find out if this brother Micaiah And if he's coming peacefully to tell the national audience who all can to broadcast and what are you going to bring to the table, he's going to find out. So he meet that up-and-coming teacher out of Cap 1 called Brother Micaiah Israel, tribe of Yahdah Judah. Yahweh be there, see you right.
Yahweh bless you there, fear Israel, of see Roy. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh. Y'all lying. If you coming peacefully for the top part of the Saturday, young one?
Well, all I can say is the scripture that was came out of the book of Psalms, chapter 104, verse number 21, it reads, the young lions roar after their prey and seek their meat from Yahweh.
Now, young lion, who all can it broadcast and why we on it? It's a definition I want. It's coming out of Miriam, Westbrook, since 1826. I want to know the definition of a word called captive. C-A-P-T-I-V-E. I talked about it in the last Sabbath class.
Let me see if I can write it down.
And I want somebody to give me this word out of Miriam Webster, the definition of captive. It's something I want to bring out. And I'll just swing down to where it says two, because what happened, I didn't get all I wanted out of that last Sabbath class, and I did throw it on the table, but I didn't get enough out of it. But I still want to deal with that one verse. I mean that one definition. So when you scroll down and find out of the Miriam Webster of the 1828, it's going to give us the definition we're looking for on B. I mean not B. It'll be on two. I need to know what do that say so I can act like that I'm hearing for the first time. I'm gonna act like I'm hearing it for the first time. But the young lion will tell us the national order who all is carrying this broadcast and whatever he got to bring to the table. Then we'll get on that after that. Come on there, young lion. What you working with for the national order? Come on.
All right. Hallelujah. Bless Israel, see you, Roy. But we know right now that we are live on the Blog Talk Radio. We also want to let everybody know we live on the Pal Talk Radio. And we do want to let the national audience know that we do have a Facebook page set up that you can log into under the name Seer Israel. We ask you all to tune in and log in to the Facebook page under the name of Seer Israel. We want you all to write down your comments in that flip box down there. They say comments right there. Ask your questions right there as well inside of our Facebook page that we have set up under the name of Seer Israel. And we ask you all to have your pen, pad, notebook ready to take down some good notes as you listen to any one of the previous broadcasts that has been uploaded on our Facebook page. We do ask you all to write down your notes and have your pen and pad ready to roll. And then ask questions according to what you heard or some Thus Says Yahweh. We also have a YouTube page set up. Our YouTube page is under the name of VOTTY Tribe YHDH. Once again, the YouTube page is set up under the name of the VOTTY Tribe YHDH. It's the same thing. We ask you all to tune in. Write down your notes on pen and pad. Have your pen and pad and write down your notes. Ask questions on our YouTube page according to what you heard or some Thus Says Yahweh. And then put in the comment box right there as well. And any one of the members of the Six and Order Campus will get back with you. We do ask you to call into the international phone line at 224-600-5579. Once again, we ask you all to call in under the international phone line under 224-600-5579. And we also have our TikTok page up and running. We catch you some snippets on there. And give a thumbs up, leave a comment or heart or whatever you can. But ask you to write something down there, ask questions after you heard something. And we ask you all to be big ears and little mouth as we go on the top part of the Sabbath day to get some thus says, Yahweh, rolling on in. We do ask you all to call in to the international phone line of the 224-600-5579 and ask questions based off what you have heard. On some thus says Yahweh, be reminded that once the broadcast is up and rolling, you will not get any answer. Once the broadcast is up and rolling, you will not get any answer from the international phone line, but you can leave a detailed message, a small, brief detailed message about your questions or anything like that, or something you want to ask of pertaining to the Bible and any one of the ministers or members of the Sixth Anointed Camps, any one of the teachers at the Sixth Anointed Camps, any one of the elders at the Sixth Anointed Camps will be getting back with you to answer your question according to some thus says Yahweh. We say, Alu Yahweh, enjoy your top part of the Sabbath day. Say, Hallelujah Yahweh, over to you, Seer Israel of Sea Wood.
Hey. So what was all about, see, you know, you got a big job. That's why we have to make sure you're clear about what we got to do. And like I said, again, I need that definition, T-I-B-E. I need from the west of the Miriam, M-E-R-R-I-A-M, west of, since 1826. I need that definition because, see, what we think and we folks and what we feel is one thing, but when we start examining this Bible, you'll know that it's total opposite, and that's why we got to get you prepared to be able to be a great service for the communities and for yourself, and then Yahweh will increase us greatly once we're able to follow the rules and regulations. Remember, if somebody comes to be counted, don't tell them how you made it. You find out, you let them give a conversation about what they're working with. A couple might come before you in time to come. And you got to hear them out. But your response, it can't be, well, this is how we done it, child. No, it ain't how we done it. It's how you got to go to this Bible and precept this Bible to break it down with the understanding of Yahweh. See, we try to get the stage because Yahweh already got into making big bang for the Sixth Anointed Camp of Voice Number 2 Israelite. Yahweh Voice Number 2. Big stuff is coming up. And but our job is to get those at the path to be ready. And only when you're going to be ready, I gotta identify who's going to be ready, you know, to ready. And about seniority, it's about the order of Yahweh. And about favoritism, it's about the order of Yahweh. So we got to know the order of Yahweh. So if anybody got that definition, although I'm looking at it, but I ain't going to never bring it out until somebody bring it out, you know, captive out at Miriam's wrestling. I have somebody to read that I'll talk about it to the Spirit of Yahweh at a time to come. But until that time comes, a daughter of Yahweh, I want to go back to Psalms 25. Angels working with David, daughter of Yahweh, this angel, and whoever got that good captive out of the Miriam's weapon of the 1828 Not, I don't want B, I want 2. That's what I want. I want 2. That's what I want. I want 2. I want a mass noise to hear this thing too. And let's see what Yahweh brings out behind it. But until that time comes, daughter Yahweh. Hey, daughter Yahweh, what is the dream? What you working with that, young
lad? Okay, I have, coming from the Google Webster's, Merriam-Webster's dictionary, looked up Catholics, and it reads, and number two, it says, held under control of another, but having the appearance of independence.
I think that's right. You see that? You see, you hear what he just said? See, we think because the chains have been removed away from still in cap today. Because you ain't you held up under control? Don't you have to do everything he said, everything he got written to remain where you at? He tell you, well, this how much money you owe me. This is what you did. Don't you got? So we understand we still in captivity long as you paying somebody look like somebody else on something that was already given to you in the beginning. You is held up under control, held up under control of another by having the appearance of independence. So you thought that you got the independence day, you said, well, we was free a certain day. No, you never been. You not even now. You not even now. Is that you? Forget to pay your light bill, your water bill, your phone bill, or just get in your car and just start driving without having his license that he are issuing you. Just see what else? Really? See what else? Go to his store and say, well, I ain't got no money, but I got me a big bag full of food. I'm just going to see what happens. See, that's how it's so much teaching we got to bring to the table. And he going to start with Yahuwah's ministry. But you have to know how to enter Yahuwah into what it will be in. And he gives us the idea of what we got to do. Now, read that definition again of I'm not in captivity no more. I'm not captive no more. But look what it says again, number two. What it says again, that young lion?
All right. And it reads, held under control another, but having the appearance of independence.
You hear me? We got it. We held under control of You don't know you really hit stuff under control of another. All the nation got stuff under control. Huh? They got stuff under control. Well, we'll get into that a little bit later. But let's see if we bring old daughter Yahuwah back in. And let's see what the angel came to visit. He came and visit David again. So he's working with old David. And in the 25th chapter 1 through 14, daughter Yahuwah, let's talk about it. Daughter Yahuwah, come on.
Okay, so say that one more time.
Give me, Psalm 25:1-14. Oh, dog, look at while the fear is so long, when I'm going to give me a little break on the fear, I'm just going to do this over long in itself. I'm going to give me a little break on it. I'll be back. I'll try to thank you. Oh, stop running that jibber jab a little bit. Psalm 25:1-14. Where's that, dog?
The book of Psalms, chapter 25, verses 1 through 14. Verse 1 reads, unto thee, O Yahuwah, do I lift up my soul. Verse 2, O my Yahuwah, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yeah, let none that wait on you be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Verse 4. Show me your ways, O Yahuwah. Teach me your path. Verse 5. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For thou art the Yahuwah of my salvation. on you do I wait all the day. Remember, O Yahuwah, thy tender mercy and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Verse 7. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions, according to your mercy. Remember thou me for your goodness sake, O Yahuwah. Verse 8. Good and upright is the Yahuwah. Therefore will he judge sinners in the way. Verse 9. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. Verse 10. All the paths of the Yahuwah are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimony. Verse 11. For thy name's sake, O Yahuwah, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. Verse 12. What man is he that fears the Yahuwah? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. Verse 10.
No.
Oh, that's it.
That's 14. That's it, daughter. Tonight's my look. Tricking on the cap. That's a big dollar here. Now remember, to deal with your Bible, you must precept your Bible. Now all this good stuff that we just got to read by daughter Yahuwah, all of it have a precept out. But I'm gonna take number 9, and we're going to look at verse number 9. 9 and 10, now that's some good stuff at 9 and 10 to receive 11. Now look at 9 and 10 one more time, daughter Yahuwah. Look what he says here. But now you got to make sure you understand these things. 9 and 10 will get you a 11. 9 and 10, y'all. So, remember, you got to examine yourself. Hold on that, dog. Let those see get his thoughts out the way. Because this is big stuff you just got to read, dog. Now, this 9 and 10, you got to really check it out. Because the 9 and 10 will get you a reward of verse number 11. Now, dog, bring up that 9 and 10 again. Come on. 9 and 10.
The book of Psalms, chapter 25, verse 9 and 10. Verse 9 reads, the meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his ways. Verse 10, all the paths of the Yahuwah are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimony.
So if you're a hell raiser, you ain't got nothing coming. That's what the man is telling you. I don't care how smart you are and what you know, if you're a hell raiser, he going to tell you no, never mind. He's telling you exactly how you got to do. If you have his word, you got to be meek. He said, the meek is what I'm going to teach. So if you are a hell raiser, then Yahuwah is going to depart from you. Here it is right here. Now, if you meet, although we're going to precept that shortly now, he said, the meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. So he's going to teach the meek his way. So if you sit around a teacher somewhere and you try to teach the Bible, and you got a scowl on your face, you all over the place, that ain't Yahuwah working with you. You just going off of what you're going off on. You got to be meek. Say it right there. What's the reward of being meek? Verse 11. Come on, daughter. Verse 11, daughter. Daughter Yahuwah. What's that verse 11 say?
Psalms chapter 25, verse 11 reads, for thy name's sake, O Yahuwah, pardon my iniquity, for it is great.
You see that? A pardon is coming for you. He will pardon you if you meek. If you meek, he'll teach you and he'll pardon you for whatever you own. But you got to be meek. Because now he's still talking to you and telling you the reward of being meek. Now he's going to tell you, daughter Yahweh, he's going to tell you the reward of it and tell you what you got coming. See, once you understand, we tell you about being meek, it's telling you in the 37th chapter you got something coming. But you got to have a meek spirit on you. Then you got something coming, daughter. So you have to say, I don't know what you got coming if you got a meek spirit. He's telling you, if you're meek, you got something coming. Now I'm struggling in the 37th chapter. So I'm struggling to find out about the meek. Now who left the old say out because I'm struggling in 37th chapter? I need the number one hit. What you got coming if you meek? He said, see, he could have said it. He could have said it better. He could have said it better, but he didn't say it better. Why? Because he keeps telling you. This book is not a novel. What did y'all learn?
Psalms 37:11.
So you see, that's what I'm talking about. See, listen. If you're meek, he could have said it in the next verse, what you got coming. But then that's been too easy. He didn't tell you that's how you do it. No. See, when he wrote this book, he could have just said A, B, C, and D. Did everybody got it? No. He told you what you got to do to understand his Bible. Make it plain, Sister Sarah. What he said that you got to do, Psalms 119, verse 1, 4, 44, 99, 100, and 104. See, he could have answered that question right then and there, but he didn't. I'm going to show you why he didn't do it. Psalms 119, verse 1. Get down to verse 4. Stop at verse 44. 99, 100, sir, you're on clock. Bring it. Come on.
All right. Brother Makai Israel, go pick it up. The book of Psalms 119, verse 1, verse 4. 44, 99, 100, and 104. Verse 1 reads, blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Yahweh. Verse 4, you have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Verse 44, so shall I keep the law continually forever and ever. Verse 99.
Well, hold on, your line. Give me 45. I can't at 45 get away from you. Give me 45.
Yeah, one.
44 and 45. I can't let that get away. I can't let that get away. 44 and 45 again. What's the
hell? Psalms 119, 44 and 45 reads. 44. So shall I keep the law continually forever and ever. 45. And I will walk in liberty, freedom, for I seek your precepts. Verse 99. I have more. Come on, got throwing 63 and up.
Okay, throw it in there. Hallelujah.
63.
Call it up.
I am a companion of all them that fear you and of them that keep your precepts. Verse 99. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. 100. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep your precepts. Verse 104. So through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate.
You see what the man is saying? See, you got to be able to watch. And I'm telling you, the dead giveaway is a Christian. A Christian is not gonna never precept about. Yahweh's not allowing to precept about, not a Christian. A Christian is going to read a verse and read something in that verse and tell it, but they're not going to go and find out exactly what it means to the precept. That's when you know you got a Christian. You can tell when a Christian is around. Because what they'll do, they'll say, well, no, that ain't right. But they never give you nothing to work with. Then you say, okay, you brought their own table, know what precept to it. It's just like you just pull a pistol on them that day and there. If you ask them, okay, if that's not right, then what is right? And they might give you a verse. Then you tell them behind that, okay, give me a precept of that verse. And it's just like you just gonna snatch something that has been hidden off of them in public when you say that. That's all you got to say. Okay, if that ain't right, well, what is right? They say, well, this is right over here. Okay, then you say, okay, that sounds pretty good. Give me a precept of that right there. Watch. Then watch their face. I bet you they got a confusion of faith that mother read twice in this broadcast. They have a confusion of faith when you give them a, when you tell them to precept their life. So they're not going to be able to do it. Because if they precept, they're going to bring out the truth. Then they're going to be stuck with that. That lie has to, just with that darkness is gone. So they'll never precept their Bible. See? Never. Keep that in your mind. That's how you catch a Christian. They always will be a murmur and complain and then a backbite. They might say, you see this verse right here? And you see, yeah, I do see it. Now what a precept to that verse said. They lost. Then they lost. They have a confusion of faith from that point on. Mother Eve. Now, young mind, give me that again. You read on that verse 11. But the meek shall inherit the earth. The meek gonna inherit, see, did you hear that? The meek gonna inherit the earth. The meek. The hell raiser is going up and away. That's where the hell raiser is going. They teach us about an up and away, a rapture away. That's hell raising talk. The angel said, but the meek gonna inherit the earth. So the heaven that the meek want to get to with the precept is young mind is 11:21 of Deuteronomy. See, the meek understand that they're going to inherit the earth. And when you precept the Bible about the meek heaven, we just said, you heard it, you inherit the earth. So the meek know the precept to that in 11:21 of Deuteronomy. The meek know that. But the hell raisers in Christianity, they want to talk about a 3-year or 7-year rapture away from here. We're going to leave it. We're going somewhere else. But the angel told you the meek want to inherit the earth. See? Now you see it didn't? The meek want to inherit the earth. Then when you precept that to Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 21. Hey, young lion, what is that we can read?
I'm going to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 11. Let me go pick it up at verse number 21. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 11, verse 21 reads, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children, in the land which the Yahweh swear unto your fathers to give them as the days of heaven upon the earth.
See that? You see that? But you talk to any Christian, they'll tell you about a rapture, about leaving you. Yeah? Where you get that from? Why? Where you get that you're going to be leaving here from? Where you get that from? See? That ain't the Bible. See, that's not Bible talk you're going to be leading in. That's Christianity talk. See, the meek knows that his kingdom is on earth. Matter of fact, mother.
Yes.
Y'all line read 1-5 of Matthew. Simeon, which is now called Peter. He made a statement that we can read. That's why we got to deal. We got to deal with a lot of things. Now, he made a statement, mother. He looked at Yahweh the Son eyeball to eyeball, and he asked him something, mother. Hey, mother, what did he ask him in 1:6? All right. He looked him eyeball to eyeball, and he asked him something. And what can we read in 1:6? All right.
The book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 6.
Mm-hmm.
The book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 6. Acts, chapter 1, verse 6, read. When they, therefore, were come together, they asked of him, saying, Yahweh, your God at this time destroy again the kingdom of Israel?
The kingdom to Israel? At this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Hang that. He asked him a question. He said, you going to take care now? Are you going to restore again the kingdom to Israel? Well, why didn't he say somebody else? Because it's not there. 690 counts, beloved. It's not there. That's Christianity. He asked Yahweh the Son a question. Will you? Huh? He asked him a question. He called about the four letters. Will you? Will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Well, what are you talking about? Is doing Bible help the whole thing out? What are you talking about? When can we read that you had the kingdom? Huh? When? See, this is what we're trying to tell you. See, right? 690 count. Won't Yahweh intervene? Preach up your mind. Tell me our daughter. Hey, daughter Yahweh. Let's see if we find out when, what all this peaches and cream was going on that we've been reading, daughter. We're going to EZRA, daughter. Keep a marker right there. I'm coming back there with Mother E. Put a marker there. Be back there shortly. But the daughter of Yahweh is going to find out, what is he talking about? Will you restore the kingdom again to Israel? When did Israel have this thing? When was all this? See, this is where you got to preach up your Bible. That's why I keep telling you, Sister Sarah Ray, you must preach up your book. You're not getting no answer you don't have a confusion of faith. But when you preach up your Bible, you're just nice and comfortable. Because you watch them bump the gums, and you put a precept on it, and then you kill them down. Now, in EZRA, there, Dollar Yahweh, we want to see if we tie in again. When did the children, that they had a kingdom, when was all this, daughter? See, precept your Bible. Study the precept. You might have a neighbor, a cross street neighbor, and you might see them coming outside. And he's doing the He said, you call, hey, neighbor, what you doing? What you want with me? Come over here and let me precept the book with you. I see you coming out with me to precept the book with you. You still in the book, ain't doing nothing. Come on and let me precept the book with you a little bit. Good. Let peep out the window and catch your neighbors. Come on and let me precept a little bit with you. See? You got to get some exercise in precepting. Then you'll be sharp and Yahweh will come in and he'll suck with you. You see? So now we're going to find out when was it on record that the children of Israel sang in the palm of their hand. Now, God is going to bring it out in EZRA. God of Yahweh. God of Yahweh. Let's pick the verse number 11. Let's go to EZRA, Ezra, chapter 4, 11. And let's talk about it, God. We're going to read down to it and if you want to tell me when we got the message, just keep reading until we all got the message together about what Peter asked. He said, are you going to restore again the kingdom to Israel? 4:11, let's read a little bit, daughter, come out. Where that daughter Yahweh is? Hey, WCC, I'm having problems with a microphone. Say it again. 4:11. Take me to 4:11.
Of what book again?
Ezra, 4:11. 4:11.
All of the regular Bible.
Here's WCC just saying, she's saying, no, ain't nothing wrong with that microphone. She's just saying, you know, never mind right now, that's all. Yeah, ain't that something.
The book of Ezra, chapter 4, verse 11. This is a copy of the letter that they went unto him, they sent unto him, unto Artaxerxes, the king, thy servant, the men on this side, the river, and at such a time. Verse 12. Be it known unto the king that Yahdah Judah, which came up from thee to us, are gone unto the city of David. Jerusalem, building the rebellious and the bad city, and have set up the walls thereof and joined the foundation. Verse 13, be it known now unto thee, king, that if this city be builded and the walls set up again, then will they not pay toll, tribute, and custom? And so thou shalt endanger the revenue and damage the revenue of the king. Verse 14. Now because we have maintenance from the king's palace, and it was not meet for us to see the king's dishonor, therefore we have sent and certified the king. Verse 15, that search may be made in the book of the records of thy father. So shall thou find in the book of the records and know that this city is a that this people is a rebellious and hurtful unto the king and Protestant, and that they have moved sedition within the same of old times, for which cause would this city destroy? For which cause would this city destroy? Verse 16, we certify the king that if the city be built again, and the walls thereof set up by this means, thou shalt have no portion on this side of the river. 17. Then sent the king an answer unto Rehum, the chancellor, and to Shimshai, the scribe, and to the rest of their companions that dwell in Samaria, and unto the rest, and unto the rest beyond the river, peace and at such a time. Verse 18. The letter which you sent unto us have been plainly read before me. Verse 19. And I commanded, and search had been made, and it is found that this city of old time have made insurrection against kings, and that rebellion and sedition have been made therein. Verse 20. There have been mighty kings also over Yahshua Judah, which have ruled over all countries beyond the river, and toll, tribute, and custom was paid unto them.
Stop it there.
Verse
20. Stop it there.
Okay.
Stop it there. Now look at that. We go to grammar school, preschool, grammar school, mid school, high school, college degree, and this is never told to you that once upon a time ago, when Peter asked, are you going to restore the kingdom again to Israel? And you want to know when, what are you talking about? It is a record that all the big dignitaries out of every nation have, because they plainly, he said, the letter has been plainly written to me, before me. He said, in verse 20, read that again, Doug, with a little more audio, what he said, read verse 18, 19, and 20. A little more audio, Doug. You're on some, Doug. Tonight,
Mike,
you might
want to
come on and bring it on out. 18 down to verse 20.
What do you say, dog? The book of Ezra, chapter 4, verse 18 through 20. Verse 18. The letter which you sent unto us have been plainly read before me. Verse 19. And I commanded, and search have been made, and it is found that the city of old time have laid insurrection against kings, and that rebellion and sedition have been made therein. Verse 20. There have been mighty kings also over Yahshua Judah, which have ruled over all countries beyond the river, and told tribute and custom was paid unto them.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute, though. They rule well, but they rule, what do they rule at? They rule around the corner. Where did they rule at again, though? They rule well?
They ruled over all the country beyond the river.
Ain't that something? Now, why would, now, listen. We go to, we got the greed, all types of benefits in the education of the world. And nobody have never read the fact of the matter, those of Yahshua Judah. Once upon a time, they had mighty teeth. All my life, I've been told that, you know, we was all naked, running around, and, you know, and then when you read out of the NAV, you don't mind put the NAV 2816 and read to National, what that say out of the NIV. See, all my life, I thought that we was always was a sacrificial people, and, you know. Everything we done, they taught us how to read and write. He taught us how to put on clothes. That's what I've been taught all my life. But when you finally read your book with the precept, you find out when Peter asked the question, will you again restore the kingdom to Israel? But you're not going to get it in the next verse. You got to know how to precept your Bible. He didn't see, he knew you were going to lose. He knew you were going to do what, Linda daughter? What he knew was going to happen to you? In the book of Obadiah. Hey, daughter Yahweh. What he knew that was going to happen to you? In the book of Obadiah, daughter. What he told the seer, Obadiah, what's going to happen to you? That we can read the book of Obadiah. Huh? We can read it, daughter. Let's see what it says. And verse 13. 1:13. Now, read verse 1 just to make it sound good. Read verse 1 and verse 13. But read 1 so we have a subject matter. What's going on in verse 1? Just get down to verse 13 there. Daughter Yahweh. What is that, daughter Yahweh?
The book of Obadiah, chapter 1, verse 1 and 13. Verse 1 reads, the vision of Obadiah. Thus said the Yahweh concerning Edom. We have heard a rumor from the Yahweh, and an ambassador is sent among the heathen. Arise ye, let us rise up against her in battle. Verse 13, thou shouldest not have entered into the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Yea, thou shouldest not have looked on their affliction in the day of their calamity, nor have laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity.
You see that? You see that? He said he did. He said, now, Edom, which is Esau, he got your records. He got your records now. Now, who are you today? Picking on the cat, who are you today? That's who got your records. There it is right there. So somebody have identity theft on you. Identity theft. I mean, playing you better than you. It was already prophesied by Obadiah that the descendants of Esau is going to play you better than you. They're going to take your identity, and they're going to become you, and now who you are, who are you? If they become you, then who are you? Then who are you today? Who are you today? Then when we read what daughter read in EZRA, there have been mighty kings over Yahshua Judah. Mighty kings over Yahshua Judah. What is that to you? Because you don't see Yahshua Judah in verse 20. You don't see it. So when mother come back to read verse number 1 and 7, we just reading the book. We don't have the clue by not preaching the Bible exactly what happened. He asked a legitimate question because he knew about EZRA. He knew it was mighty kings in Judah. You know what Judah is today? They ain't talking about it. There was mighty kings. You been told you ain't nothing. So now the conversation going on and Mother E. It's going to talk about that conversation a little bit more. What it says, Mother, in verse 7 and 8. Back to Acts chapter 1, verse 7 and 8. Continue that, Mother.
The book of Acts chapter 1, verse 7 and verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 7. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the time of the season, which the Father has put in his own power. Verse 8. But you shall receive power after that the righteous spirit is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Yahshua Judah and in all Judah and in and in Samaritan.
And
unto the utmost parts of the earth.
Hold on. The utmost part is over here. He said, look here. This thing got to get broad first. Give me a precept on that, Brother Micaiah Israel. Give me a precept. Give me Matthew 24:12-14. This is some big business you read now. This is some big business. Listen to this. In the book of Matthew 24:12-14, this is big business. What are you trying to say, young lion, Brother Micaiah? Let's see what he said. We can read in Matthew 24:12-14. What did he say?
Book of Matthew, chapter 24, 12 down to verse number 14. Book of Matthew, chapter 24, 12 down to verse number 14. Verse 12, and it reads, and because sin shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Verse 13. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. 14. And this covenant of the kingdom shall be taught in all the world for a witness unto all nations of Israel. And then shall the end come.
So this covenant got to be taught. And what word did they use again, Moses, in verse 8? Hey, Moses, what word did they use? The last line in verse number 8, his word got to be taught. To where, mother? Hey, mother, what is in that last line in verse 8?
And unto the utmost parts of the earth.
So the word got to get to the utmost part of the earth. Now, who going to do it? God read in 94:16, who will rise up against the evil dude? Who's going to do it? So now, how is the word going to be taught to the humble part of the earth? Who's going to do it? Remember, back to the precept again, daughter Yahweh. Hey, daughter Yahweh, back to the precept. That's how we're going to do it. Remember, who's going to get to the utmost part of the earth? Who's going to do it, daughter? Daughter Yahweh. Let's go do the Romans of time. Who's going to do that? Who's going to do it? We can read.
Now you got to
go back to your precept. If you want to know the answer, you don't let nobody start guessing because then you like everybody else. No. The key was the utmost part of the earth. So who's going to do it? Go back to your precept. He keeps telling you, if you don't precept, a Christian ain't going to precept the Bible. He's not. They will never precept the Bible. Because if they precept the Bible, they're going to see. As long as we can't propaganda if you precept. Now you got to come clean if you precept. Precept make you come clean. That's why you never see a Christian precept nothing. So they got to come clean. They got to come clean. Precept make you come clean. Now, brother Yahweh, the key word was the utmost parts of the earth. Now, what are you talking about? We're going to and precept to Deuteronomy 34, verse number 2. What is that?
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 34, verse 2 reads, and all Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim, and Manasseh, and all the land of Yahzah Judah, unto the utmost sea.
That's nice, though. That's nice. So who's going to be teaching to on all of the earth beyond the utmost of the sea? Who's going to be doing it, daughter, according to me? 34, verse 2. Who's going to be doing it, daughter?
Yahzah Judah.
Ain't that something? See that? So you precept the Bible, daughter. So the one that's going to have to take this word to the utmost, Yahzah Judah. But how are you going to take it if you don't know how to precept your Bible? That means you slowing the process down. You read that it's going to be got to take it to the utmost part of the earth, utmost part of the sea, and we're going to do it day and day. Judah going to do it. See, it's Judah's responsibility to do this. But Judah don't know who they are. They think they Christians. They think they are religious. They think they are a Baptist, a Catholic. They're religious. You see what I'm saying? Judah's going to do it. Now, give me a precept, daughter. Give me 11. Give me Isaiah 11, verse 12. Now, what did we say now? Remember, the utmost part of the earth, the utmost sea. Now, how you tie all that in by reading 11, verse 12. 11, the book of Isaiah. Now, this is how you tie it all in. See, you know, sooner or later, you know, thing unfolds itself. Sooner or later, we're going to see somebody out of fixing on the camp just spread out, just duking some precepts down. And that makes fear happy. Huh? That makes fear happy. You know why? Help me out. Precept on that too, right there. What did he say? Now, we're going to help those see out. I need a precept on that right there. And in the book of, same book of Isaiah, see, the best time can get discouraged. Let's read a young lion. Let's read. Well, his great big old dignitary got discouraged. So there's nothing wrong with getting discouraged. The big dignitary got discouraged, too. In the 49th chapter, book of Isaiah, young lion, I want to hear a great big dignitary. You don't get no bigger than this. He got discouraged. Mm-hmm. So if it happened to you, what I'm saying, it happened to somebody greater, way greater than you. And verse number 3 and 4. Say we can read in the 49th chapter of Isaiah, young lion. What it say in verse 3 and 4? What can we read out of verse 3 and 4?
The book of Isaiah, chapter 49, verse 3 and verse number 4. Verse 3 reads, and said unto me, you art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Verse 4. Then I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for naught. And in vain, yet surely my judgment is with the Yahuwah, and my work with my Yahuwah.
Even this great big old dignitary right here got frustrated. You know why he got frustrated? Let's back up. Let's back up and let him tell you out of the mouth of Isaiah why he got frustrated. Go to 5th chapter, verse 1. This great big dignitary got frustrated. He said, man, I don't lay up for nothing. I've done it for nothing. And the big dignitary over him had to give him a hug. Said, no, you ain't. I got to tell you a little bit more. So if he got frustrated, that's wrong with these people. Now, what made him frustrated? We go on to the 5th chapter, verse 1 of Isaiah. What made this big dignitary from heaven frustrated with you, children of Israel, 12 tribes? What made him so frustrated? Let's see if we find out with a precept in 5th chapter, verse 1. What it saying, young lion, in 5, verse 1?
Book of Isaiah, chapter 5, verse number 1. Verse 1 reads, now where I sang to my well-beloved, a song of my beloved, touching his vineyard. My well-beloved, hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. And he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof and planted it with the choicest vine and built a tower in the midst of it and also made a wine press therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. Verse 3. And now, O inhabitants of Yadah Judah, and men of Yadah Judah, judge, I pray you, between me and my vineyard. Verse 4. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. Verse 5. And now go to, I will tell you what I would do to my vineyard. I would take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. Verse 6. And I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned, nor digged, but there shall come. I will also command the clouds that they rain not, that they rain no rain upon it. Verse 7. For the vineyard of the YHWH Yahweh of hosts is the family of Israel, the northern kingdom, and the man of Yadah Judah, his pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment. But behold, oppression for righteousness. But behold, a cry. Verse 8. Woe unto them.
So you see why he was so frustrated? He said, what? Look, read verse 4 again, a little more audio, young man. Verse 4 again.
All right. The book of Isaiah, chapter 5, verse number 4. Verse 4 reads, what could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes.
Now imagine, you know, you sit there for one of your family members. You got prepared to take care of business. Then they get out there and they choke. And then you just drop your head down. All that I have put all that time in you, got you prepared, and now you on the clock, then you choke. He said, what could I not done? He said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to let everybody come and just beat their back. He said, from this point on, I'm going to let everybody come and beat their back. Is it? So you see how you frustrate a man that made the heaven and earth? His father had to give him a hug. So that's why you don't let nobody wear you out, because the Almighty Son of Almighty Father got frustrated with the 12 tribes of Israel. He said, what could I not have done? I want to run back and get a high five on the crate you told me to go out and do. And I look forward every move they make. They love to brag about all the Mackin, about the black man, the first man on the planet Earth. But what will happen to him then? Then why you want to bother me to well? Good. Because when Yahweh had a black on him, your number one job is to precept and keep the law, statutes, and commandments. Then no weapon formed against you will prosper. But you do total opposite. You got total opposite. You just got through with unleavened bread, pastor. Now I'm still showing you got 50 days for the next feast day. And you still ain't going to be ready for that one, called the Feast of Weeks. You're going to be counting the 50 days now. And be prepared for the next feast in 50 days after that tomorrow of unleavened bread. Eh? We're not getting doing nothing in man's hand, so the man can't help us. And he sent Yahweh forth of the two Israelites, fixing on a camp. Tell them, you got to precept your Bible to those, if you're going to talk Bible, precept your Bible. And the best time to do the precepting of the Bible, I mean, I still got a lot of marbles everywhere. But the best time to precept your Bible, I forgot about the mother. You're going to come back and give me a little bit more of that in a minute. Dr. Yahweh, when do the best time supposed to precept your Bible, Dr. Yahweh? I need a Nehemiah answer. And then what will happen if you do it? Immediately, what will happen in Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 14, again, what will happen after that in verse 20? Let's find out about Yahweh. Nehemiah 9, verse 14 and 20. What does it say that daughter of Yahweh? Come on. Where is little daughter of Yahweh at? WCC, I've been there. I believe you got something to do in keeping the daughter's microphone is not clicking quick enough to me. I know your hand somewhere in it. Hey, Young Lion, pick that up, Young Lion. Nehemiah 9, 14 and 20.
All right, we're going to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 9, verse 14 and verse number 20. The book of Nehemiah, chapter 9, verse 14 and verse number 20. The book of Nehemiah, chapter 9, verse 14, and it reads, and made it known unto them the righteous Sabbath, and commanded them precepts, statutes, and laws by the hand of Moses, your servant. Verse 20, you gave us also your good spirit to instruct them, and withheld us not your manna from their mouth, and gave us them water for their thirst.
You see that? He gave them that good spirit because they've done what in verse 14? How do you receive a good spirit there, Young Lion, verse 14 again?
Verse 14 reads, and made it known unto them your righteous Sabbath, and commanded them precepts, statutes, and laws by the hand of Moses, your servant.
So how do you get this good spirit according to verse 14 in your life? How do you want the good spirit? How do you get it? It gets down there in verse 14. Watch your mind bring it out. How do you get this good spirit according to verse 14?
But he says, and made it known unto them your righteous Sabbath, your commandment, and commanded them precepts, statutes, and laws.
So how do you get this righteous spirit, Nehemiah? I mean, I heard you read it, but can you enlighten the national audience about how do you receive this good spirit? According to verse 14, what you got to do to receive the good spirit? According to verse 14.
Keep the laws, the precepts, and the statutes and a righteous Sabbath of Yahweh.
You see that? You see that? So that's how you get it. You don't know how you get it? That is right there. Within 14. Now, the big dignitary Paul came to the southern kingdom, Young Lion. And Hebrews chapter 9, verse 1 and 19. And look what he said. Look what Paul said on the right side of the book. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 1 and 19. What did he say there, Young Lion?
Book of Hebrews, the book of the Israelites, chapter 9, verse 1 and verse number 19. The book of the Israelites, polluted word Hebrew, chapter 9, verse 1 reads, then truly the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service in a worldly temple. Verse number 19. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people, according to the law, garlic wool and hyssop, and sprinkle both the book and all the people.
When Moses done what? What did Moses do again in your line? What Moses do?
For when Moses has spoken every precept to all the people according to the law.
Yeah. Now, what people was this? See, let's see, can you get a Christian out of this? See, listen, we're going, now, everybody let me pause. Now, what people did he sprinkle this on, post them precepts, and all that? Now, he put in this verse somewhere. Remember, the Bible is not a novel. What are you pulling this from? We're going to Exodus 24, you know what I'm saying? Let's see where he's pulling this from. See, Paul is pulling these verses. That's what he keeps telling you. Hey, Mother E, I know you're holding my Exodus, Mother. But give me 26:22 of the book of Acts. Hey, wait a minute, 26:22. No. So now, Paul, way on the right side of the book, Yahweh the Son is in heaven, talking that good talk. He said, when he is pranking on all the people, what people? 24, verse 4 of Exodus. Let's see. 24, verse 4, and skip down to verse 7. Down 7, 8, and 10. But read folks just get warmed up. What people did get all this to in 24th chapter, you know, line, verse 4.
All right. Hallelujah. We're reading the book of Exodus, chapter 24, verse 4, 7, 8, and verse number 10. The book of Exodus, chapter 24, verse 4, reads. And Moses wrote all the words of the wise Yahweh, and rose up early in the morning, and built an altar under the hill, and 12 pillars, according to the 12 tribes of Israel. Verse number 7. And read in the audience of the people, and they said, all that the Yahweh has said will we do, and be obedient. Verse 8. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant which the wise Yahweh hath made with you concerning all these words. Verse 10 reads, and they saw the wise Yahweh of Israel, and there was under his feet as it were a paved work of a sapphire stone, and as it were the body of heaven in his clearness.
See if on the bottom of his feet was better manicured, that a big old black feet, they say. Black of sapphire what? Stone. You know, sapphire stone is blue-black. You know, you run out some bugs, call themselves, they're called blue. They say, why do you call you blue? Because I'm real dark. I'm real dark. I'm so dark, they call me blue. So black, they call me blue, right? You're some brother you call blue. So why do you call that brother blue? That's how dark he is. Right? They seen upon a Yahweh's feet. And they look like some sapphire stone. Paid work. That means he was very manicured. That's good old, big old black, good-looking feet. He stuck out of the cloud. That great big old black feet bear witness to it to get the covenant. Verse 4 again.
Hallelujah. Well, the book of Exodus, chapter 24, verse number 4 reads, and Moses wrote all the words of the Yahweh and rose up early in the morning and built an altar under the hill and 12 pillars, according to the 12 tribes of Israel.
That's right. You see, I mean, that's right. Covenant is for the 12 tribes of Israel. I don't know how you get a Christian out of this. That's what you see. That's why the world confused, because they don't want to preach up the Bible. How you get the covenant for the thing right there? When you preach up your Bible, look what you told who the covenant is for. He's bringing the blood for the 12 tribes of Israel. Never, Paul. He didn't put the word Israel in because he knew you knew the precept. Remember, children of Israel have been in captivity a long time. He just couldn't blankly come out. He knew you had your foundation. That's why this job is going to be bigger on Yahweh's voice of the Israelites than back in the day. See, you now you think you're a Christian and you're a Catholic Christian now. You see that? So you see, when Paul was talking about, what are you talking about? And Paul was talking some great stuff. Get him up in 26:22. Hey, Marie, what did he say that we can read in 26:22 of that book of Acts?
Look at Acts chapter 26, verse 22. Acts 26, verse 22. Having therefore obtained, help of Yahweh, I continue unto this day witnessing both to small and great, saying none other thing can beat those with the fear and Moses did faith should come.
You're a part of the symbol? Hey, mother, you're a part of the faith? Paul said, but I'm bringing it in. If you know how to preach up your Bible, you go back and preach. I ain't saying nothing that they didn't say. Even Paul just said, I ain't telling y'all nothing that you can't go back and read. And that's thank you, John, tell you to know it, stick them on the count. You don't say nothing that you can read. Paul said, and look at that other day, saint, Peter, you got to give me a precept on that. Okay? Mother East, back up to 24:14. See, that's the same thing with John K. Same book of that. 24:14. Precept time, mother. See, one day we might ask them for a precept. It's just like you pull a pistol on me, you have to ask them for a precept. When they ask you for one, we'll give you one. 24:14 of Acts.
The book of Acts, chapter 24:14. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call Herod, so which I, the Yahweh of my father, believe in all things which are written in the law and in the prophets.
What do Paul believe, mother? According to that verse, what do Paul believe? Some of the things that's written well. Paul believed in some of the things that's written well, mother.
In the field.
He believed some of it, right, mother? Or do he believe all of it? Which one, mother? Which one did Paul believe? Some of it of all of it?
It said believe in all things which are written in the law and in the field.
Oh, so Paul is believing all things, mother, not some of it, all of it. That's what he's telling the Southern Kingdom. All of it. Now, y'all mind, come on back to the Exodus 17, verse 13 and 14. Let me get a little precept on that, y'all mind. We'll tell you something. In the 17th chapter, verse 13 and 14, y'all mind, brother. Hey, daughter Yahweh, is your microphone back working again? If it is, say hallelujah, Yahweh, daughter. Daughter Yahweh. Say, working on your microphone, daughter. So when your microphone ready, daughter Yahweh, say hallelujah, Yahweh. Now, in your mind, in the 17th chapter of Exodus, can you help the national audience out in 13 and 14? What is that?
the book of Exodus, chapter 17, verse 13 and verse 14. The book of Exodus, chapter 17, verse 13 reads, Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Verse 14, and the Yahuwah said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's excellent, y'all. That was excellent, too. But come on back to the 16th chapter and look at verse number. Just give me one line in verse 3. I want one line on who he's talking about. Just one line. I was going to get a title of who he's talking
about. All right. And the book of Exodus, chapter 6.
I know who he's talking about.
Exodus chapter 16, verse 3 reads, and the children of Israel said unto them.
Okay. Good. Now, children of Israel in verse 4.
Verse 4. Then said the Yahuwah unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no.
Yeah. Now, you know what this bread is. He's going to rain down, fairly, right? He's going to prove you. See, he's going to do right. If you going to do precept, that's Yahweh proving you. He's letting you know, change precept. You're not doing his will. You got a precept. If you plan on discussing the Bible with others, you must preach up your Bible. Now, if you just a casual reader, you get a pass. But don't try to talk Bible without precepting your Bible. Don't do it. Don't do it, because you're out of the will of your Father. If you're not going to preach up your Bible, don't communicate on a thought, because he's going to give you a confusion of faith. It's going to be all over the place. But if you're just a casual reader, then right on. Then right on. But don't try to explain anything unless you got a precept after. Don't do it. Because you're out of will of your heart. Now, mother, coming back to Acts chapter 1, mother. Now, you've been holding that mark for quite a long time, mother. Now, we got to get a little bit more out of that, mother. Now, we'll get to all that. Now, we know who goes through what. Now, what happened in verse number 9? Acts 1:9. What happened in verse number 9, mother? Now, you don't lay some. We don't have a whole lot of precepting, mother. Now, we'll make it to verse 9. What it say in verse 9?
The book of Acts. Chapter 1, verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight.
Okay, good. He was taken up. Where'd he go? Where'd he go? Where'd he go? Where'd he go to in verse 10? Where'd he go?
And when they were come in, they went up unto an upper room.
Hold on. Go back to Acts 1:10.
Acts 1:10.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You read nine. Yeah, you read
okay.
And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of his sight. And I said, where'd he go? verse 10. Where you go? Where you go, Mom?
And while they looked steadfast toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by him in white appeared.
White apparel. It was in white garments. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, what's the heaven? Why did he go there? Why was he going there? Young Lion, Brother Mackay? What's going on here? The precept that time, what's going on, Young Lion? What's going on here? What's going on here, Young Lion? For the Book of Daniel. What's going on here? When you preach up in your Bible, you get the answer what's going on here. He went to heaven. What are you going there for? Maybe we're talking about in the Book of Daniel. What was he going there for? We're going to find out. And 7 verse 9. We're going to find out what was going on there, Young Lion. He was already, see what he was doing is I didn't come to change that. I come fulfill it. So this got to be fulfilled right here. So when you preach up your Bible, what got to be fulfilled by the Young Lion in Daniel chapter 7 verse 9, let's do a little reading there, Young Lion. Come on.
Well, we're going to the Book of Daniel chapter 7. We'll pick it up at verse number 9. Book of Daniel, chapter 7, verse 9. Verse 9 reads, "For the wise W.H. Yahuwah, our Yahuwah."
Hold on there, Young Lion. Give me 7, verse 9. The real chapter, verse 9.
The book,
take your time,
the book
there,
of
Young
Daniel.
Lion. Mm-hmm. 7,
the
verse
book of
9.
Daniel, chapter 7, verse 9 reads, "I beheld to the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire." Verse 10, "A fiery steam issued and came forth from before him. Thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. Judgment was set, and the books were opened." Verse 11. I beheld then because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake. I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed, and given to the burning flame. Verse 12, "As concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away. Yet their lives were prolonged for a season and time." Verse 13.
Hold on, Young Lion. That's good. Now read verse 9 again, 7, 9 again.
James chapter 7, verse 9. Verse 9 reads, "I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire."
Mm-hmm. So the question was, I was just telling you read for a reason, pick out no lesson. So Daniel seen everybody got their back beat. He seen all that. So Daniel seen all that, but that ain't what I put that in because I want that with him there. But verse 13 will get to the point that Mother just got to read in verse 10. Verse 13, that Young Lion.
The book of Daniel, chapter 7, verse 13. 13 reads, "I saw in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the cloud of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him.
Ain't that something? Ain't that something? Now, Mother, read verse 10 again, Mother. 1 verse 10. Read 1 10 again, Mother.
The book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 10. And while they looked steadfast toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by him in white apparel.
Verse 9.
And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Mother. Where was he going, Mother? Read again, y'all, line 713. Where was he going to? Verse 13. Daniel 7:13.
The book of Daniel, chapter 7, verse 13. I saw in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the cloud of heaven, and come to Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him.
You see that, Mother? So you see when you preach up your Bible, now you know exactly what's going on when he left. And what did he say, Mother, in the 17th chapter of St. John 1-5? Now, young lion, when your microphone is back, give me a hallelujah, young lion. Once you your microphone been back with some audio, say hallelujah, thank you for your daughter. When your microphone is ready, say hallelujah. Mother and kid will keep rolling. So what you getting ready to read, Mother? 17 chapter 1, 9, verse 5. What did he say? What do he say? 17, 1, 9, verse 5.
Thank John, chapter 17, verses 1 to 5. Thank John, chapter 17, verse 1. These words spake Yahweh, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Verse 2. And thus has given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thus has given him. Verse 3. And this is the life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true Yahweh, and Yahweh the Son, whom thus has sent. Verse 4. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou givest me to do. Verse 5. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the honor which I had with thee before this world was.
So you see, Mother, when you precept your Bible, you get the whole story. The Father sent him down to take care of some business. he had completed the business that he was doing. So now he's heading back to heaven. He heading back to heaven, and he told his father, I have finished the work that you have gave me to do.
Mm-hmm.
See? So that's what he was going back to tell the father, I'm doing it. I'm finished. Now, what did the father say to him after he said that, mother? You know, that's written in the Bible, too, mother. That's written in the Bible, too. What did he say? He said, I finished the work that you had not given me back what I had to before the world was. So, mother, what did he say? Go to Hebrews 10, verse 13 and 14. That's kind of what did he say? What did the father answer him after he told the father, I finished the work that you have gave me to do? What did the father say when he got the stuff? We're going to 10 verse 13 down to verse 15 and find out what the next words were said. Going to Hebrews 10, and we'll pick up verse 13, 14, and 15. What did it say that, mother?
Hebrews chapter 10, verse 13, 14, and 15. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 13. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 13. From henceforth,
okay.
Hebrews chapter 10, verse 13. From henceforth, expecting his enemy be made his footstool. Verse 14. For by one offense he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. Verse 15. Where are the righteous spirit also is witness to us, for after that he has said before, verse 16, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, said the Yahweh. I will put my laws into their mind, and in their minds will I write them.
Hold on, mother. In that Hebrew book that you read, and 10, I'll read that verse again, mother, and 10, verse 13, 14. Look at the rear captain, mother. Look at Hebrews 10. Remember, he's gone back in heaven, and now his father's going to respond to him. Just look, read it real carefully, verse 13, 14, and 15.
The book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 13, 14, and 15. Verse 13, from henceforth, expecting to his enemies, to his enemy be made his footstool. Verse 14. For by one offense he has perfected forever them that are sanctified.
Okay, but hold on. Verse 14. By one offering, that means he ain't offering himself no more. For by one offering, he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. And who witnessed all this, mother, in verse 15? And who witnessed all this in verse 15?
Wherefore, whereof the righteous spirit also is a witness to us, for after that he had said before.
Good. So now we got the answer. Kokomo. And he said, I'll finish the work that you have gave me. The father told him to sit down here. The father said to him, tell him to do. I'm struggling right now. My father told him to do something. He said, the father told him to do something after he had done his part. But I'm struggling right now. I'm still struggling right now. So I'm at the table there because I'm looking right at it, but I ain't coming up with the answer. So the father told him something, but I'm struggling, mother, to try to figure out what did the father say to him once he told him I'll finish the work. He said something to him, mother, but I'm struggling right now on what he said. So I don't know why I'm struggling, mother. So if you want to help pull those shit out, verse 19. No, I don't know what the father told him to do, mother. Hey, mother, I'm looking for what the father told him to do. The father told him something, mother, but I don't know why I'm not.
I know what he's saying, it, but...
You take a shot at it?
Sit down on the right. One, two.
Read verse 13 again, Mom. I don't know why I missed the point. Read verse 13. What the Father said to him in verse 13? 10:13.
From henceforth, a statement, till his enemy be made his footstool.
Mm-hmm. Now read verse 12 again, now, Mom.
Read verse 12.
Mm-hmm. Read 12 again.
But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin, forever sat down on the right hand of the Father.
You see that, Mother? You see it, Mother? After he had completed his work, he took care of the business, Mother. So now, right now, where the son at? On the right hand of Father. Why is he sitting there? He is expecting his enemy to be made his footstool. That's why he's there now, Mother. So he's watching the Father right now. And he asked the Father, is it time for me to go beat their back, for the final beat their back yet? So now he done finished the work that the Father done gave him, Mother. That's a big talk, Mother. He done finished the work now. So right now you're on the right hand of the Father expecting his enemies to make his footstool. Then he's going to tell him in 19:27, remember the angels is bad. The angels bear witness to this, Mother. So when we read Luke 19:27, let's make it plain, Mother, precept. Luke 19:27.
Okay. The book of Luke.
Book.
Chapter 19, verse 27. Luke chapter 19, verse 27. Verse 27 reads, but those my enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me.
You hear that, Mother? So he went back to the heaven, third heaven. He sit down with the Father. From henceforth, expected even his enemies to make, be made his footstool. And a big angel is standing there with him. We read about he got all the powers of a big angel. He going to tell him, big, after the Father give him the word, we're going down there and beat their back. He's going to give the word to the angel. And the angels going to come down here and beat your back. And Yahweh said, when you beat your back, let me see it real good. Bring them before me and beat their back real good before me. You hear that, mother? Can I get a hallelujah out of that, mother?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So now, so we now we understand what's going on, mother. We understand. Now let's go back to that Acts chapter 1, mother. I'm going back to Acts chapter 1. Now, with all that good understanding, now we understand what was going on with them. And now watching them read this angel say to those that was there in verse 111. What did they say, mother?
Book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 11, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Yahweh, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven.
Oh, hey, mother. What did it say, mother? And that, it says in verse 11. While which also says, you men of Judea, meaning southern and northern kingdom, that was there, Peter, now, why stand you gazing into heaven? That same Yahweh son, the same way you seen him leaving, the same way he coming back. So what they looking for, it's the same one that went up. So he not come back no different, mother. The same one that they seen going up to heaven, it's going to be the same one that come back. Key word, mother, is the same. The same. The same one, mother, that big talk, mother, come to 1 John chapter 4, verse 2. 1 John 4, verse 2. Now, that big talk, mother, the angel said the same Yahweh, see, right now, that's going up is coming back. The same one, mother. It ain't going to be no different one. It'll be the same one. Let's precept that to 1 John 4, verse 2. 4, verse 2, mother.
The book of 1 John. First John.
Verse 2.
First John chapter 4, verse 2. Hereby know ye the spirit of Yahweh. It is spirit that confesses that Yahweh the Son is come in the flood gift of Yahweh the Father.
So the same one that was in the flood coming back, mother. Hey, mother, this big talk you. Hey, mother, you read some big powerful verses. The same one is coming back. Plus with the end, mother. What plus with the end, mother, in the flood? Let's go to Micah chapter 5. What plus with the end, mother? Let's go find the seer said, the same one coming back. In the flush. The same way you seen him going up, he coming back. What flush was he in? F-L-E-S-T. What flush was he in? Let's go to Micah chapter 5, verse 1, mother. Let's find what flush was he in, mother. Michael 5:1.
Okay. The book of Micah, chapter 5, verse 1. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Micah. The book of Micah, chapter 5, verse 1.
Mm-hmm.
Now gather thyself in truth, O daughter of truth. He has laid siege against us. They shall smite the judges of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. Verse 2 reads, but thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be left among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from of old, from everlasting.
Mm-hmm. Verse 2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, so thou be little among the thousand of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from old, from everlasting. So what plus do you take on, mother? The flesh of Judah.
Mm-hmm.
So he took on the flesh of Judah, mother. Hey, Mother E, he took on the flesh of Judah. And what does Judah look like, mother? In Jeremiah 14, verse 2. He took on the flesh of Judah, mother. Came in the body. The flesh he was in, he was in the flesh of Judah. So what does Judah look like in 14, verse 2, mother? Or the book of Jeremiah.
The book of Jeremiah, chapter 14, verse 2. Verse 2 reads, Judah mourn, and the gates there are languid. They are black unto the ground, and the cry of...
Oh, hold on, mother. If he took on the flesh of Judah, so, and that same Yahweh the Son coming back, what color is he coming back, mother?
Black to the ground.
A little bit louder, mother. A little bit louder, mother.
He coming back. I'm going to read this. They are black unto the ground. So that's the color he's coming back. Black to the ground.
He's coming back. It was the same Yahweh sign that y'all looking at now in the flesh. It's going to come back. And what kind of flesh you going to have on, mother? The same Yahweh. What kind of flesh you going to have on?
Black unto the ground.
Black flesh from Judah. He's coming back as in the tribe of Judah with black flesh. So the one that's coming back going to be a black man from the tribe of Judah. Now, give me one verse in the closing statement, mother. 147 of St. John. So when the same one you seen going up, a black man went up, the same black man from the tribe of Judah is coming back. A black man. There won't be a picture you got in your mind. A black man went up to heaven, black man coming back down with big black feet. A black man, huh? A black man from the tribe of Judah. And what did the eyewitness say he was, mother, in 147? And a closing statement. St. John, 147. Let's find out what the black man is here. Yes, ma'am.
St. John, chapter 1, verse 47. Yahweh saw Nathan You said St. John 1:47.
That's right, Mother. You're doing great.
St. John chapter 1:47. Yahweh saw Nathanael coming to him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile."
The same black man coming as a black Israelite from the tribe of Judah. A black Israelite from the tribe of Judah. So when he come back, look for a black man from the tribe of Judah, a Israelite. He's coming back as a Israelite from the tribe of Judah, a black man, a big black man with woolly hair. Is that the one you be praying to? No, but that's the one you're going to see come back, a black man with woolly hair, black to the ground, from the tribe of Judah, a Israelite. See that? Mother. Somebody got to teach this, Mother. A black man is coming back with big black feet, woolly hair. He's coming back to beat those that have transgressed against him and beat their back. Big black man is coming back. Mother, we can read it like that, Mother. We got to read it like that, but we don't read what the book saying. They said the same Yahweh the Son is coming back. He's from the tribe of Judah. He's an Israelite. He's coming back in black flesh. Big black man. Big black man coming back. Meaning business on beating your back. If you don't be ready for him, or you don't get your back beat. It's up to you. Hey, Mother, tell them plainly, Mother, they got to hold on behind that, Mother. You got to let them know they got to hold on behind this. Take your time. I'm closing seven there, Mother. Take your time and bring it on out. Come on.
Thank you, praise Yahweh, for the class. Thank you, praise Yahweh, for the teachers and for the listeners. And I'm going to read a Proverbs chapter 10, one verse, the first verse of Proverbs chapter 10, verse 1. The proverb of Solomon, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Thank Yahweh for the word. And I'm saying to the listeners, hold on. Don't give up. Hold on to the end. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah. Hey, that's Mother E. That's one of the mothers out of Cam 1. Let me tell you something. You just heard it. The same Yahweh song you see going up is coming back in like manner. What flesh did they see him in? He was an Israelite from the tribe of Judah. Judah is black. A big black man coming back. Big black man. Big black people. Come back to whoop your back. Are you going to get your back beat? Or are you going to the kingdom? It's up to you. You got to pray to a big black man. Praying, you must see a big black man in your trail. If you seeing a pale-skinned descendant of Esau with blonde hair and, you know, that kind of hair, you're praying to the wrong person. You gotta pray to a woolly, big black man. Big black man. With black feet. Like the steady work of a sapphire stone in the 24th chapter of Exodus. He stuck his big black feet out of the clouds and they seen it. It looked like there was a way of manicure. Feet.